Let's see. We're down to verse 18. Well, 18 through 25. Uh-oh. 18 through 25. Well, let's go. Wives, they're out there too. Praise the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Can you say amen? I heard women. Men, can you say amen? Woo! Dear God, I ask for the anointing. Boy. Verse 20. Children, we got some kids out here, don't we? Okay, kids, it's going to be for you tonight also. Praise God. I'm getting some feedback somewhere. And it's more than you out there. I'm being sabotaged on the mic system. Children, obey your parents in a few things. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Wait a minute. Children, obey your parents in all things. Brother Gentry, while I'm reading this, would you set up this little bulletin board? I may draw a little bit. And look for me one of those little pens, if you would, please. Yeah. Yeah. Find me some colors for the kids. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, or from the heart. Heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let me make a few statements at first that for those of you who are studying in this Colossians class and the Bible school students that will be getting this tape, there are certain statements I want to make that you need to be aware of that you'll be seeing later on in tests, and that is that all relationships find their fulfillment in Christ. You notice that this named off a whole bunch of relationships. And all relationships will find their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. And the marriage relationship it talks about here is to be brought into subjection to Christ and the church. And you'll find that over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. That the marriage relationship is a shadow, if you will, of Christ and His church. Of Christ and His church. So, though we're speaking of practical, tangible things that we have to deal with in our life, they have a spiritual birth, if you will. They were birthed, man and woman, children, because that's the way it is in the Spirit. Because God's family is just like that. Because God's plan is just like that. And God wants us not just to live down here as husband and wife and say that's His plan, but to live according to what the Word says in the relationship of Christ in us. In other words, not just to see the dead letter and live it, but to live it through Christ, as unto the Lord, as in the Lord, literally by the life of Christ in us. And if we'll take this Word, and we will be judged according to it, then and we will be judged according to this Word. If we'll be judged according to it, then we'll be judged according to our obedience to Christ in us, fulfilling this. You understand what I'm saying? This is more than just law. This is being obedient to Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is being obedient to the living Christ within. This is more than just 10 commandments written out. This is the obedience to the life within you. And let me tell you, men, women, children, servants. The word servant, you can use that for a worker who on a job. Some of you have jobs here. Thank God. we can pay the bills. Praise the Lord. It's speaking to you, and it's and if we don't fulfill the nature of Christ in us, then we will stifle that life and we will suffer spiritually as well as in our marriage relationship, in our families with our children, on our jobs. We will suffer spiritually, and to suffer spiritually and to be out of whack with God's inward law, not His written laws out here, but His inward law, which is Christ in you, is to cause this old body to be susceptible to a lot of sicknesses, a lot of diseases, a lot of trauma, such as ulcers and arthritis and many of the common things that a doctor that's not even saved will tell you will come from emotional stress. And emotional stress comes from not being in line with God's Word, with not flowing with the way God set it up. See, He made everything. He made it all. And He knows how He wants it to run. And it's just like a man, if he built an automobile, just like old Henry Ford when he built that first automobile and they went and bought them, when they had a problem, they needed to go back to the man who made it. Well, this nation needs to get back to God. Needs to get back to God. And husbands need to get back to God. And wives and children. And oh, if we do, oh, when we do, how glorious will be the power of that. You see, because there's power that God put, He knew that one should put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. And He wants husbands and wives and children in order, in obedience to His life flowing. Because you see, my children's prayers are as powerful as anybody I've ever seen. I'm telling you the truth. They pray powerful prayers and get results. I mean, they don't just sound good. They get results. Well, when they start praying, I know something's up. And they'll get things. I remember my daughter went off to, all three of my daughters went off to Longview, and they were visiting some relatives. And my middle daughter got hurt, my oldest daughter, and we weren't even around. Ran over there, saw her, got hurt, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and God just immediately healed her. She had fallen over and had a lot of pain and bleeding, and the Lord just healed that thing. Let me get my book here. Did I ever get that color to color with? It's over here. Let me just draw some pictures. Oh, you got me a whole bunch of different colors. Praise God. Okay, this. Everything comes from the Spirit. Except maybe my drawing. There might have been a little flesh in this, but if you'll stay in the Scriptures, you'll get the... This top one here is Christ and His church. Christ and the church. That is a spiritual relationship. It is a relationship that is going on now. It's an eternal relationship. The Lord knew that He was going to have a bride. And long before she was even brought to Him in the sense of the day of Pentecost when the church was formed, He knew that there was going to be a bride. And He made man, and then He said it's not good for man to be alone, just as God sat in heaven and said, though we are God, we would like a family. Do you know that's what God wanted? He wanted a family. He wanted a bride. He wanted some sons and some daughters. And just a little bit to get off, there are sons and daughters, there are children of God scattered all out in this city, all out in this world. And it's like a great king who had a big family, and all of a sudden the enemy came in and he destroyed and he messed up the family, and he scattered these children, all different ages, all throughout the country. And many of them were small, and they began to be raised, and they don't know who they are. They don't realize that they're children of the king. And they're just waiting for someone to come and say, I've got something to tell you. You can be a child of God. And they respond immediately to that. There are people out there that are hurting, that have never heard. Some of you were those. And when you heard, you responded, and you know that you're His child. And that's not just an earthly relationship. That's a forever heavenly relationship. The other one is between the relationship I'm talking about now, Father. But it is between the Father and His Son, which has always been. And He says, actually, let's put parents to children. And then the last little circles here is Jesus as servant. And this was His attitude on earth. And then the relationship that we have with our, if you will, our boss, our master and servant. And we're talking about earthly. How do you spell servant? I hope I got that right. You know, you can be unsaved, and the man can live real close to this and live a real good life and yet not be fully fulfilled and yet have a lot more peace than a Christian who's not living the proper order here. I know a lot of good people that the wives are submitted to the husbands love the wife, and they're not even saved. But they have a wonderful family life. And you know why? Because God said this is the way it's supposed to be. It's a wonderful relationship. Now, they're both headed for hell. They don't have that inward peace that you have. But they have found that God set a law in the earth. It's just like the law of giving. There are some sinners, businessmen, who give continually and they reap back. They have found a spiritual law, and it works, and they put it to work for their own selfish gain, but they put it to work. There are many laws that God has, as it were, put down here into the earth that work. They're spiritual laws, and if we'll tap into them, they'll work. But we don't want to just grab hold of the spiritual law. We want the life also of those laws working in us. We want the life. What good would it be to have a good marriage relationship and yet have a miserable time in the Lord? But I'm telling you, there is no greater relationship between a man and his children, or a mother and her children, and a man and his wife, and a boss and his worker. There's no greater, especially the man and wife, than to have that man plugged into God, and have that wife plugged into God and into her husband, and to have those children subjected to the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, there's power in that, and you can go through things that most people, they just fall apart over, because your prayers, the Bible says, once again, you begin to pray and God begins to move and things begin to happen, and you can stand together. You know, it's being alone sometimes that really gets you. Now, we have single people here. But you know, you have that relationship with the Lord that we're talking about between husbands and wives. And you also have that relationship here in the church with the church and with the fellowship. But husbands and wives, you have that at all times. You have that at 3 a.m. when one of the children comes down with, well, like one of my kids came down with an incurable disease and just began to scream out, and we didn't know what it was. We prayed, and the Lord took the pain away, and we found out later that she had an incurable blood disease. And so we prayed again, and God totally healed it. Totally. But you see, there's somebody there. And this relationship God wants not just in the church. God wants it at all times. And that's why He made man and wife to get married and go home after church and spend time together and eat meals together and get up in the morning and see each other with their hair all messed up and looking ugly, you know. And some of you, I know you'd never look ugly, but, you know, some of us do when we get up. You ought to see me. You know. And God wants us to learn to live this life. See, this is what we're talking about. This life which is Jesus in every situation. In every situation. So that the man, well, let's just talk about this real quick. The man, the relationship between man and wife. What is the man's role? The man, he's the two L's. He is the leader and he is the lover. He's to be the head, and the Bible tells him to love your wife. Now, many times men get only one part of that. He becomes the leader, but not the lover. And if he's just the leader, then if you're a leader without love, then you're a dictator. Or he becomes a lover without being a leader, and he gets so sentimental, and some people call him a wimp, you know, or they get henpecked or something. You've got to, as a man, you've got to be a leader and a lover. And this is where we really miss it. But you know why men miss it? Because they don't know the love that God has had toward them. And that's why I'm not just talking about learning a few things and trying your best to be a good husband. I'm talking about getting in relationship with God. The Bible says, let me get my Bible. The Bible says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren. Am I in the right place here? Let me make sure I am. Yes. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Is the woman less than the man? No. That would be like saying, the word plainly says that Jesus has a head and he is God the Father. Is he less than the Father? No, he's equal. And yet, he took a role of servanthood to his Father. He said, Father, I will go down. I will obey your law. I will empty myself of my all my glory, and I will submit myself unto you, and I will walk under your anointing with your presence and your guiding. And this is what the Lord's calling for in the husband to the Lord and in the wife to the husband. Not that anybody is lesser than anyone else. Jesus said, I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. Well, you think of that, men. You are the, you women also, but you think of that. You are the brother of Christ, and he's not ashamed to call you that. And yet, he's your Lord, and you must submit to him. Now, we're talking once again about submitting to a life. We're talking about getting in contact with God. We're talking about as men saying, Lord, I want to follow you and I'm going after you. And as Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I'm walking after you. I can see the Father going, and Jesus is saying, I'm following you. And I can see the men going, say, well, I'm following you, Jesus. And I can say the women say, well, I'm following you. And Paul started that verse by saying, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. So that's okay if they're following Christ. But the order is that the man is to follow the Lord, and the woman is, of course, to follow the man as unto the Lord. Now you say, well, wait a minute. What if he's always telling me wrong things? He makes wrong decisions. I know it. Don't tell me that. I know it. I'm a pastor. I'm a counselor. I get to hear some of the fun stuff. I know that. I know that it seems like men make more mistakes than anybody else in the whole human race. And maybe they do. I mean, I've heard some real weird ones, you know. You know, husband and wife come in, she said, well, he said we ought to do this, and it was the wrongest, most stupidest, dumbest. And I'm not using good English, am I? I ain't using good English, am I? It was the wrongest, stupidest, dumbest. And he was wrong. But you see, that man has the responsibility before God And for you to take that gets you out of whack, wives. Can you see that? For you to begin to try to take the lead gets you out of whack with God, because that's not what God told you to do. God said, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. But He also said, and this is where most of the time we miss it, the men are running around going, well, I'm the head. And you know He's bound to be the head because He's always telling everybody. But if He was the head, He wouldn't have to tell everybody that so much, would He? I mean, if He's really living, you don't have to walk around. I mean, I don't have to walk around all the time going, I'm the pastor. You know, hoping somebody's going to recognize I'm the pastor. If I'll just be the pastor, well, everybody's like, He's the pastor. You know, you just be the husband. They'll say, well, He's the head. You know? Let me show you that with the relationship with the children. I was thinking about a scripture over in Deuteronomy, and it really tickled me as I began to look at it. It's over in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Let's see if I can find that. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. It says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord hath given unto you, which hath commanded you? Now I was reading that and I looked at it and said, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, Mama? Now that's the way we read that. When thy child asketh thee, you say, go ask Mama. Go ask your mother. Your mother knows. Don't bother me. But you see, men, we have a responsibility, and I'm going to be mixed. I'm not going to really try to just take each one. But that's the relationship between, he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And if you are the head, then you have authority to provoke them. But he says, don't use that authority to provoke your children. Don't use that to override them and to run them into the ground. And now, once again, we're dealing with love. You've got to be the leader. You've got to be firm, but you've got to do it in love. Well, where do you get that? I don't have that. I don't have that kind of patience. I don't have that kind of tenderness. I'm a man. Jesus does, and He was a man too. He's man. He's all man. I shared that. He's Son of Man. Now, He's got the nature of God, but He didn't use that nature. He used the nature that God gave Him, and He was tender and kind, and He took them children up, and the men were saying, get these little kids out of here. And He took them up in His lap, and He blessed them. And He said, no, don't, you know, let the little children come unto Me. Suffer the little children to come unto Me. Now we sometimes joke around here when a child acts up and we say, suffer the little children to come unto Me. You know, we're making them suffer. But that's not what He meant there. And yet He did say, when your children get out of line, that the rod and correction will straighten them out. He did say, train up a child. He did say, train up a child. That's different than teach. You ever think about that? Train up a child. That's different than teach. How do you train them? How do you train your dog? How do you train your parrot to talk? We used to have one when I was a missionary to Jamaica. Some 12 years ago, we brought back a parrot. The way you train him to talk is just talk around him. And pretty soon he starts talking. You know? Well, that's the way you train your child. You just begin to do things. You got them in your house and you say, now children, now there's a difference between teaching and training. You say, now children, I want you to never tell a lie. Do you hear me? Never tell a lie. And then the phone rings and you say, tell them I'm not here. Now, we don't even realize what we're doing when we do that, but that's what we're doing. And we think that we're training them, but we're by teaching them. But teaching them doesn't get it. Training them does. And you are training them. You are training them. And you think, oh, I'm teaching them so good. I'm telling them never tell a lie. You know, never do anything wrong. You know, obey the law. You know, always obey the law. And then, you know, a bill comes up and says, well, I ain't going to pay that. That's ridiculous. And the kids are standing right there and they're listening to that. You say, oh, I sure am glad I'm training my kids right. Boy, I'm really giving them a good education in the Lord, you know. Now, kids, you better obey your teachers. And then he'd come home and, my stupid boss, you know, here he is. My stupid boss, he don't know nothing. Can you see that? You come in mad and you say, man, you know what that idiot did? I got more sense than him. I ought to be the boss. Now, kids, and your kids come up and say, well, you know, my teacher told me to do these problems right here, and that's stupid. Don't call your child stupid. Don't call your teacher stupid, I mean. From running around with Jerry Savelle too much. They told me the last two people in the world need to get together is me and Jerry Savelle after this morning. It's kind of wild. Actually, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's not near as wild as I thought he was. I'm the one that was kind of wild of the two. Anyway, they come and they say, you know, I don't know why my teacher doesn't seem to have enough sense, and yet we're going, now don't you talk that way about your teacher. I've taught you to respect him. I've taught you. Yes, Mama, yes, Daddy, you've taught me, but you trained me another way. And they'll be trained. They'll come out the way you train them. Do you believe that? It's true. They're going to come out the way you train them. Now, another thing this thing didn't say, it didn't say now, where was I reading? And when thy son asketh thy Sunday school teacher in time to come, see, that's another thing. Look at some verses just above that, and I'll show you that that's true. See if I can find those. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. What's that next word? I can't hear you. I can't, all of you. What's that next word? Now see, I'm your teacher and you're the pupil, and if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to get a spanking here. Diligently. See, the kids love that, don't they? Diligently now, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Do you see that? He says, I want you to teach your children. But he didn't say, I want the Sunday school teachers to really, now you Sunday school teachers, you get in there and you teach my kids right. Now, I've come from groups where the Sunday school teacher was supposed to do it all. And the parents said, well, I only want to go to the best church with the best children's church program. But they said that because they were not teaching their children. They were training them, but they weren't giving them the word at home. Especially not when they got up in the morning, when they walked beside the way, when they laid down at night, and they didn't have the word. You know, we want the word all plastered in these Sunday school rooms. We want to see it on the wall, don't we? But you walk into a home and you can't find a trace of anything that would say you're a Christian. You know? No scriptures and no nothing. So they don't know. They say, well, you're supposed to have scriptures and stuff when you go to church. You're supposed to have things about Jesus only at church. That's what their little minds are being taught. It's this way at church. But when you get home, you talk about the newspaper, you talk about programs on TV, you talk about, but you don't, you know, really talk about Jesus a lot. Am I getting in trouble here tonight? Am I getting myself in a hole? I think this is right. I think it's going to help a lot of people. I'm trying to be gentle here, but I'm also wanting you to know that this is God's Word. This is God's Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this Word's going to stand. He says, teach them. He says, share it with them. He says, when you get up in the morning, have a verse of Scripture for that day, maybe. The Scripture for the day is, you can do all things through Christ. You ready to go to school? See, I get my kids around me and we pray before school. We all gather together, hug them up, kiss them, and I say, okay, now let's pray. Send them off to school with prayer. When they get up in the morning, they get home, we have Bible-type classes, family devotions and stuff. As soon as they get in, they do the homework after they spent time with the Word. And then We have special things that we do every once in a while where they get to act this stuff out, and they come out and they say, okay, I've got somebody I want to act out, you know, and we're supposed to guess who it is, you know. You know, Jonah in the whale, you know. I mean, it's hard to tell some of them. Woo! I mean, well, you know, you'll never guess them if you don't know the Bible. You know, I don't know what that is, you know. And as us, Jonah in the whale, you know. I mean, who? You know, you've got to know the Word. We got to feed. And the home is supposed to be a place of joy and of gladness and of the Word. You know, I've visited in homes, and you sit there and you're eating, you know, and everybody's just stiff, like everybody's sitting on a carton of eggs, you know, afraid to move and everything. And all, you know, the kids, shape up, you know, and everything. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm pretty wild with my kids, I got to admit. I don't believe my kids are wild, but we have a good time. I mean, I throw them up in the air, and I chase them around the house, and we get on the living room floor, and I roll with them. I mean, we do a lot. And, you know, I don't know where we get this idea that we're supposed to be so... I'm spiritual, and my kids are spiritual. Stop that. You know, we reach over, and then, oh, you know, but a relaxed home. I mean, what's a child think if the pastor comes in and everything's all of a sudden, you know, like this, instead of the way it always is? They begin to think, well, you're supposed to put on a mask around, you know, other Christians or something. You see? But that's not the way it's supposed to be. Because Jesus is with us always. He sees us. He knows what's going on. And there's that little thing I've seen in some people's house, that he's the silent visitor at every meal, and he's the... You know, that, in a sense, that's a good thing, because it makes you aware, if you're not all the time aware, that Jesus is right here. He's not just sitting beside me. He's dwelling in me. Hopefully it's his life coming out of me toward my kids, toward my wife, or toward my husband, or toward my boss. You see, I got a call just the other day. It's Friday, I think. Well, it was a few days before that. And my boss at the battery shop called me up, and he said, I got an opening and I want you to come back. Can you do it part-time? Now, he's wondering, he's probably thinking, you know, maybe the church isn't doing too good, but I want him. You know why? Because the business boomed. Because I'd get in that job and I would pray. Now we're over here on this third one. I'd pray for my boss. He wasn't even a Christian. His business wasn't glorifying the Lord per se. But I prayed, God, bless this business. Bless this man, and let him see that he's blessed because he hired a Christian, and that I'm honoring you. And let me do such a good job that he'll want another Christian just like me. And Lord, may I be an example to him, not just of how the way a business should be run, but may he see a difference in me, and may he want to know about you. And he didn't accept the Lord, but I did get a good chance to open up and minister to him and to many others that worked there through the company in Dallas. But he phoned me back, and he said, I want you. Can you come? I said, no, I got my hands full. It's a little hard for him to believe. He was afraid when I left that, you know, a little struggling church, you know, and they're not going to be able to take care of you financially and everything. And it's hard for him to believe that we've really grown and done real well. But then I don't know if it is that hard for him to believe. He just felt like that was going to be a real dangerous thing for me to do. And yet the Lord blessed that business, and has blessed this church. But why? Because of me? No. Because there is an order here. He says Jesus was a servant, and he submitted himself. He submitted himself in front of Pilate, who had him beat by the Roman soldiers. He had him slapped. They spit in his face. The Bible says they pulled his beard out. And he stood and he said to Jesus, Pilate said, don't you know I'm a master, I'm a top guy, and I have the authority and the right to crucify you or to let you go? Jesus said, You don't have any power at all except it be of God. Jesus was a servant. He said, you know, in the way it is in the world, if you become a great man, you've got to be over a lot of people and tell a lot of people what to do. He says, in the kingdom of God, that's not the way it is. He says, you'll be a minister. You'll minister to people. And you know, the ministries that are growing today are the ministries that are reaching out to help people and to bless people and to serve people. Now you think about that. And the ones that aren't growing are the ones that are trying to draw everybody to their church and lift up the name of their church and saying, we're it, we're doing it all, come to us. And there are churches that are doing that. But let me tell you, Jesus did it all. We don't have a thing to offer them except Jesus and the love of God through vessels that are yielded to Him that won Him. I tell you what, there's so much here. I don't know if I need to get into this a whole lot more. I feel the Lord is kind of holding me back. There's so much to be said in this, and I really have a lot I'd like to say. And in this area, I'm burdened for our children. And yet, I'm burdened for our parents. You know? Because the children will do just fine if the parents do good. They'll do just fine. So we as parents have an obligation. This came to me the other day. What if Randy Nussbaum got out there and boy, I mean, this thing grew and we got, you know, a huge Bible school and we got all, you know, huge satellite network and nationwide TV and all this. And what if when my kids got 16, 17, and 18, they went off into the world and got into drugs and sex and things like that? Do you think I'd feel a lot of pleasure in all the big ministries and lose my children? Lose my children? I mean, if they had gotten into horrible things, and a man said, I'll give your children back to you and the Lord if you'll let me chop your arm off. I'd say, take my arm. Take my arm. I want my kids back serving Jesus. Well, why wait till then? See, the Bible says, deal with those kids now while there's hope. Did you know it says that in Proverbs? Deal with them now while there's hope. Whip them. Don't spare. Get them in order now because there's coming a day. I heard this was not a Christian man. This was a doctor. He said, age 1 to 6, you can mold them. Maybe it wasn't 1 to 6. 1 to 8, you can mold them. And from 8 to 12, you have to bend them. And from 12 to 16, you have to break them.